This is the second of a message that began December 28th, 2025, when about 40% of us were here. Some of us were in traveling, many of us were sick, and for that reason, I'm going to give the bare bones outline of the previous message so you'll know where we're picking up. It's a two-message series on walking with God. And so it's Walking with God is the title of the last message. Title of this message will be, changing it a little bit, Walking with the Lord, or rather, the Lord walking with us. And so that bare bones outline was based upon Ephesians 5, 1 through 4, if you want to follow along with me. Great passage of scripture. Let's hear God's word. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you so needy, so unable to receive your word without your grace. And so, Lord, we ask you to open our ears and our hearts to behold the beloved Lord Jesus Christ, to retain your word, Lord, and to walk in it. We do want to remember Joanna, Lord, who's had great pain and great suffering with her, the shingles she's had. We do pray, Father, that you would bless her and keep her. Joanna Jones, Lord, we know this is the Malone's daughter, and we pray, Father, that you would heal her. And so, Lord, we pray now that you might help us to receive your word and walk in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the three major headings of that previous message were walking like God, walking with God in love for him, and walking in remembrance of God in his work for us in Christ. And so we'll consider these three points in minor detail. We are to walk like God. That verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ephesians tells us that we are to be imitators of God, which means we're to be like him, to walk like him. How does he walk? He is holy in all of his ways. We are to be holy as he is holy. The Lord Jesus said this in John 14 about his own walk. He says, I will no longer talk much with you. This is verse 30 of chapter 14 of John. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Jesus loved his Father and walked in such a way as to keep all of his commandments, showing him love. Second point was we are to walk with God in love for him. And I apologize that there were 7 points to this. We'll read through them briefly. He says, number 1, we are to walk in love with God. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Secondly, if we're going to walking in love, we are seeking that Christ should be our first love every day. You remember the Ephesians had done many things right, but they had left their first love, and the Lord Jesus commanded them to repent of that. Thirdly, if we're walking in love to the Lord, we are keeping his commandments. And we highlighted in that message the commandments right in Ephesians that Tom mentioned, the commandments regarding family, husbands, wives, children. We also pointed out the fact in Ephesians that we're to put on the whole armor of God. And then you can easily pray through 2 Peter chapter 1, where we're to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so forth. Many commands to put on love for the Lord, to show our love to him. Number 4, if we're walking in love, we're turning away from all sin. We just read in Colossians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. There's some Christians think that they can curse. I'm afraid not. We do not read of Jesus cursing. Number 5, If we are walking in love, we are walking in such a way that we are loving the Lord's church. And we're to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. Number six, if we're walking in love, we are walking in the light of his word. In chapter 5, verse 8, it actually talks about walking in the light, Colossians 5, 8. And then number seven, if we are walking in love, we're walking in prayer. And one of the hymns that we sing says, we'll pray while you preach. So please do that. And may we all be in prayer for one another. One of the saints here used to say when they drove by our house on Plank Road when we lived there, they would always pray for us. Well, you may not be driving by our house anymore, but keep praying. And we'll be praying for you by grace. Well, in the review, you've no doubt heard this word walk many times. And Brother Fred, in a message that he preached recently on joy, said he looked at every word in the Bible on joy, rejoicing, or rejoice, and it was hundreds of times, and he brought a great message to you. Well, I hope I can bring something of a message like that to you. I took the word walk, and thankfully I have a computer, and it brought up all the times it said walk or walking or walked. There are only 407 times in the New King James Bible, but I read through them, and the message won't be that long, it sounds like, but I've distilled that down into 3 points for today. First of all, walking sinfully away from the Lord. Many verses about that. Secondly, walking holy with the Lord. And then finally, the Lord walking with us. That's walking sinfully away from the Lord, walking holy with the Lord, and the Lord walking with us. Walking sinfully away from the Lord. Let's go first to Adam and Eve. It doesn't use the word walk in that passage about them, but that's what they did. They walked away from the Lord. They walked away from his commandment. They sinned against him, and then they kept walking away from him, hiding themselves from God. And they'd still be hidden if God had not found them, of course, and told them that he was going to send his son, as it is in as it's preached there in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. Well, we go on through the scriptures. Leviticus 18:3 says, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. Apparently, in Egypt and in Canaan, they had certain laws, and he said, you're not going to do what they do. Now, let's come to modern day America. Let's look at some of the ordinances that we're having to deal with in our culture. First of all, this culture says premarital physical intimacy is not only permitted, but encouraged. We're to keep ourselves until marriage, and then in marriage, you shall not commit adultery. Number two, children are a nuisance, and we'd be better off not even having any. Of course, Tom preached this morning, he will not even wed two people who say, we're not going to have children. God has called us to be married for many things, one of which is to have children. Thirdly, children not wanted or malformed should be aborted. How can God show mercy to a nation as us? They say 63 million, I think that's a low figure. They were saying 50 million for too many years, and they finally bumped it up to 63. What a travesty. And may the Lord help us to continue to pray that God will turn away this evil from our age. Number four, gender is fluid, and people can choose their gender as young as 5 years of age, and it should be encouraged that they do so. May God have mercy on our land. What an abomination. God made them male and female, and he did a good job of it. Praise God. Number five, children are owned by the state and not to be ruled by the parents. Remember, Pharaoh said, well, you can go do your sacrifices, just keep the children here. That's what the devil wants. He wants that generation. That's why he's called us to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we pray that the little children will come to him. We do have a state. That's one of the organizations God's given, but he's not given the children to the state. I think one of the first ladies said, it takes a village, it takes a church. So may the Lord help us to raise our children in him. And we move on through the scriptures, and you remember Ahab walked in the sins of Jeroboam. And it says 10 times in the scripture that 9 other individuals walked in the sins of Jeroboam. What were the sins of Jeroboam? Well, he was the first king of northern Israel. And God was going to bless him if he kept the commandments of God. But one of the things he didn't want to do, he didn't want him to be inconvenienced and go down south to Jerusalem to worship. We'll worship up here, and he set up idols. And of course, if you worship idols, you're going to do every iniquity associated with those idols, and they did. And so it said this of Ahab. And it came to pass in 1 Kings 16:31, came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. So Ahab walked in the sins of Jeroboam as an idolater. On and on in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. Psalm 81:12 says, "So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." If you resist the Lord, he'll let you go and walk in your own counsels and what sin that will make. Psalm 82:5, "They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable." The Lord Jesus will later talk about how we can walk in the light and not darkness, but here they are walking in darkness. Ezekiel 5:5 says, "Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her." And it continues on to say, "She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes." And Ezekiel's going to go on to say this at least 6 more times. "They've not walked in my statutes." So all of this is sinfully walking away from the Lord. Move to the New Testament. We read in Colossians 3:5-7 that Tom had read earlier today, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." See, what is this walking? It's a lifestyle. It's everything that God sees about you. He sees your beliefs, first of all. He sees the thoughts that arise from those beliefs, the intents of your heart, and then the actions of your heart, whether they're word or deed. It's what you are. It's all the time what you are. It's not like I walk a little bit. Well, you're either walking with the Lord or against the Lord. Yes, we do sin. That's tripping up and stumbling. But Christian's goal is to walk with the Lord, 1 John. If someone's goal is not to walk with the Lord, they're not a Christian. They don't have a new heart. They're looking after a way to look good, but they're still walking in evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Two sins there. Laziness, not working, but being a busybody, a gossip. And so may the Lord help us to work hard as men, and women work hard unto the Lord, and to walk with him. It says in 1 Peter 4:3, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of God like Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." We walked in them. So we can summarize all of this sinful walking. One verse from the Old Testament. It says, the last verse in Judges 21:25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And if you're walking in your own heart, you're going to walk away from the Lord sinfully. Ephesians 2 summarizes all of this, and it says, Ephesians 2:1-3, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, that's our walking, conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What a dark picture that is. We could talk about all the judgment that's going to fall on this, eternal judgment falling upon everyone who continues in their lusts, continues in their sins, continues walking away from the Lord. You see, the Lord made us to walk with Him. He created us in His image. And how we have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Praise be to God, He sent His Son. All that sin that we committed, that we walked in, washed away in the blood of Christ. Someone uses the phrase, it's too good to be true. This is good, and it is true. And it's more good than we know that the Lord bore all of our transgressions. We sing, full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. So there's all these verses in the scriptures about sinfully walking away from the Lord. But we go to point number two, walking holy with the Lord. Walking holy with the Lord. Genesis 5:22 says this, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Now, as a lost person, I said, that didn't happen. Nobody lives that long. Well, Methuselah, his son lived 969 years. Well, that didn't happen. It did. It tells us over in 2 Peter, the world that then was. It had not rained. Mist came up from the earth. There was a different atmosphere, different atmospheric pressures and so forth. And there were the dinosaurs there that didn't make it through the flood. After the flood, the world that is now could not support them, supported them then, and supported people to live 969 years. Adam himself lived 960. That's just what God says. Either you believe his word or you don't. When I was converted, I began to believe that I was lost. Forget that. And it's easy to forget. And I think God has put things in the word that you have to believe because the mind cannot grasp it. Jesus walked on water? Oh, yeah. Of course he did, because it says he did. So anyway, and then it says, Genesis 5:24, two verses later, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a beautiful picture. Didn't have a funeral. Where's Enoch? We can't find him. Maybe somebody saw him go up. We don't know. But he was gone. He was with God. And he still is with God. Psalm 81:13 says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Sometimes they did, many times they did not. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them with who walk uprightly. Aren't you glad we have a Bible that teaches us what uprightness is? The commandments of God. We don't have to sort of feel our way through and is this walking uprightly? Should I do this? The scriptures tell us very clearly to love one another, to love our wives, to respect our husbands and love them. Very clear. Love our children. Love our enemies. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord. He's crying out, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So many prayers in Psalms. I hope you read through the Psalms to have more prayers, truly, that God will answer. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. That's certainly the gospel. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Psalm 101:2 says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, remember, Jesus read these scriptures, and he did that perfectly. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. But this is the heart of a Christian who wants to walk with a heart for the Lord. Are we repenting? Yes. Are we confessing our sins? Yes. Are we looking for the day when we will walk perfectly in heaven? Yes. But even now, we want to walk with the Lord with a heart set upon him. Psalm 138:7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. I walk in the midst of trouble. Because we're walking with the Lord, it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be more difficult. You know, swimming downstream is pretty easy. Going upstream, especially the salmon going against the cataracts, that's tough. And this is what we're doing. We're going against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we're in the midst of trouble. We're a people that are afflicted by an enemy. He doesn't care. Tom talked about the angels that were watching over us. We don't know how many angels are in the room. The Bible talks about their angels, plural, so we don't know. And we don't worship angels, but we worship a God who rules over everything. And he has allowed one-third of the angelic beings, now demons, to be in the air. There's a prince of the power of the air. These enemies don't care. And that's why it tells us over in Ephesians chapter 4 to give no place to the devil, to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, because if you give place to the devil, you leave a crack in the armor, it's coming in. Put a crack in the ship, it's going down. And so we're walking in trouble and we're crying out, Lord, revive me, quicken me, help me walk with you. We're going down to Isaiah 43:2 while we're talking about trouble. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, and you will, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Nor shall the flame scorch you. You're going to walk through fire. Only the Lord Jesus can uphold us. This is the promise of God. I will be with you. But Lord, the fire's hot. It's not as hot as hell. Praise God, the Lord Jesus has taken that upon himself, but he allows us to go through great troubles. And you remember, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And if we're being conformed to his image, we're going to have to deal with sorrows in this world. And may the Lord give us grace. He says, I will be with you. Though you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Think of those three brothers in the burning fiery furnace. They weren't even singed. The only thing that got burned up was the shackles, the cords that were holding them. And there was a fourth in that furnace, likened to the Son of Man. Jesus was there with them. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. We've talked about troubles. We've talked about fire and water. Now we talk about the worst thing. This is a Christian who's walking in darkness. Why would God allow us ever to walk in darkness? Well, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's darkness there, but we'll fear no evil, for the Lord is with us. He walks in darkness and has no light, and here's the command. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm having a tough time. I'm even having trouble seeing the cross. I'm having trouble seeing my sins forgiven. My sins are flying at me, just in amazement. Just too many and so many. But we have the Lord. Trust in the Lord, even though you're having to walk in some darkness. New Testament. We go to John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, we don't have as much light as we'd like to have, but praise God, we've got some. Praise God, we trust in the Lord, even if it's small faith, little faith. I mean, God rebukes little faith, but he blesses it as well. It can move a mountain. So praise God if you have faith at any level, and God will increase that. Then Jesus says in John 11:9-10, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he's not just talking about the light of the sun, he's talking about the daylight of his grace, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world, and that's seeing Christ. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. The Lord draws this great line, either you see the light or you don't. If we see it dimly, thank the Lord for that. Then John 12:35 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going.'" Now, behind us is darkness, and we might see yonder light dimly, but keep going in that direction, because you know what's behind you. And you keep walking toward the light of Christ, and the scripture tells us that we look upon the word of God, we are changed into his image. We're looking into the word of God, we're looking into the gospel, we're looking into Christ, bearing all of our sins, rising from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool, ever living to make intercession for us. There's an astounding promise in Romans 5 that says that if he's borne all of our sins, how much more shall we live by his life? He's taken away the negative, but the positive is even greater, to be able to live with Jesus. And so we keep walking with him, whatever light we have. Maybe we haven't grown as much as we'd like in the Lord, but keep growing in what you have. It tells us over there in Proverbs a couple of times, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. Now, I'm not going to brag about this, but I just had a birthday, and I keep getting older. But I'm thankful that I can look back at a record of God's faithfulness. He has never let me down. I've let him down, but he has never let me down. And you keep on going, and you keep on growing, and you want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And praise God, that tree's not going anywhere. There might be a flood come up, but the tree's going to be there, the tree that God plants. Now, Romans 13:13 says this, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I'm sorry, that was Romans 6:4. That was Romans 6:4. Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Now, some people have life verses, and that's great. I've seen 1,000 different life verses you could have. Here's one of them. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. What are you doing today? I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, really? How are you doing that? I'm thinking about him being my God, being my Savior, being the one who washed away every sin that I'll ever commit and did commit. I repent of those things. I'm not proud of those things. I never want to sin against him in those ways again. But it tells us in 1 John chapter 2, he says, "Little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And you put on Christ in putting on that promise. And it tells us later in chapter 2 that the one who is born again should walk as he walks. I mean, I hope you're accused of, is all you do is think about Jesus? Well, please pray that that will be so. It isn't that way yet. But this is what it should be. And that we would always align everything we're doing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this what Christ would have me do as I walk? No, I must turn away from that. Yes, I must walk in this holy way, uprightly with him, with him. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians 10, and Brother Tom mentioned or read of this today. And what I'm doing now is moving to this third point, the Lord walking with us. We go over many, many, many other verses. And I leave you to do this. A.W. Pink said this, if a person's a good teacher, he will spark you to study further. So I hope I can spark you to look into your Bible, get your concordance out, or get your computer out and look at all these verses in the New Testament, walking with the Lord, which we don't have time to go into. But now we're looking at the Lord walking with us. 2 Corinthians 6. Trying to get there. So in 2 Corinthians 6, I'll begin in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Remember, he's talking to a church, not an individual. He's talking to us as a church, not as individuals. You are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. What is our point here? The Lord is walking with us or among us. I will walk in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, how do we apply this? There's the commandment he gives now. Since I'm walking among you, I'm in your midst, as we quoted this morning as we greeted you, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in their midst. This is not something that is promised at home. It's promised here in the church as we assemble together, and he's now walking among us now. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. That's all the world's ordinances, the world's ways, the world's worship. We worship according to the word of God. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Now the Lord's walking among us, and what is it that God hates? Sin. What is it God hates? Rebellion. Taking him for granted. Going about thinking we're obeying him and we're not really loving him. That was what the Ephesians did. I have something against you. You've left your first love. He's walking among us, but he wants to see us turning away from sin, because if we're not, we're touching unclean things that he is not going to be a part of. We're going to lose that fellowship. And we'll read later about him walking in the lampstands. So do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So there's this great relationship. The Lord walking among us, and we are walking with the Lord together. What a love relationship. I mean, we are his bride. Those of us who have been married and been joyfully married know what this is like and how that woman is very special. I was thinking of that verse today that says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. One lily, the rest are thorns. Even our sisters in Christ, they are sisters. But compared to the love we have for our life, that's a thorn. I only have the lily. And this is what we are to Jesus. There's people all over the world that he loves in his creation sense. But he has a very specific love for his church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Gave himself for her. It is the most beautiful thing. You read through the Song of Solomon, a very intimate relationship between the Father and Israel, between a man and his wife, between Jesus and his church. And so this is what he's speaking of. He's walking among us, and he will receive us if we're not giving ourselves to sin. The Lord can forgive us of our sins. He can bring the backslider back, but is that what you want to wake up in the morning and do? I want to backslide today? We don't write that on the list of our to-dos, but that's what happens when we forget the Lord. We forget to put on the Lord Jesus. We haven't put on the whole armor of God. We have not sought him. And may the Lord give us grace, because he is among us. The promise is always true for the Christian. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. But you're not going to know the fellowship of that unless you are seeking him. When we wander away and we stray into sin, we lose that fellowship. There's darkness over there. The Lord's in the darkness, but he's not blessing that darkness. You know, the Bible is very interesting the way it is written. It begins literally with God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. Genesis 3:8. This is after they'd sinned, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And where are they? They're hiding. They think they're hidden, but they can hear the walking of the Lord. Now, this is a prefigurement of Christ. This is a theophany, as it were. They walked with the Lord before they sinned. Why would you ever stop doing that? I mean, what was it like to walk with the Lord in the garden? Well, the Bible is going to end with us walking with the Lord forever in heaven and his walking among us. And there'll never be any darkness. There'll never be any division. There'll never be any repentance because we've never sinned in heaven. It says over in Revelation 2, 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So he's walking among us, but he can remove that lampstand. And he promises to do that to the church of Ephesus if they don't repent of not having him as their first love. And so the Bible begins with God walking with them. It mentions here in Revelation, the last book, of his walking among us. We think of Christ as the head of the church. We were reading in Sunday school today for the youth, 7th through 12th, about not holding the head. And that's the problem that false teaching does. It takes our hands off of the head, but as Christians, we hold on to the head, Jesus Christ. And I asked them, what is holding onto the head? Well, it's loving him. It's praying to him. It's trusting him. It's abiding in him, abiding in his love, basking in his love. We have it the best of anybody in the world. You have the greatest promises that are going to be kept by God, and he's walking among us. We're turning away from sinful walking. We're walking with him, and he is walking with us. So in my application, I ask the question, are you walking with him? As Bill Askell would say, with judgment day honesty, are you walking with him? None of us are going to say perfectly, only Jesus did that. But can you say it is your desire? Oh, that I were walking with him. Oh, I thank the Lord for any time I've known to be walking with him. And remember, it's by faith and not by sight. You're always going to have less than you want. You're always going to know there's really some more icing to this cake than I'm just tasting, right? There is glory before us. But God has given us a foretaste. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have Christ. We have the gospel. We have the fellowship of the saints. We have the word of God and prayer. We have all things in Christ. Isn't it Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Present tense. Why would you ever not be content? It's when we get our eyes off of Christ, to get our eyes off of what we have everything. Why would I not be content? Yes, I'm in the midst of trouble. Yes, there are things I cannot change that are horrible, that are sinful. I have Christ. Those horrible things will not endure. There will be no sighing, sorrowing, suffering, trouble, disease in heaven. There'll be Christ only. So if you're not walking with him, if you don't know him, the Lord doesn't make it difficult. He says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Our dear brother beat upon his chest and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's with the Lord right now. He didn't trust his prayer. He said, God be merciful to me. Be propitious to me. Take my sins upon you, Lord. Bear my wrath. And he did. And he will do that for anyone here who calls upon the name of the Lord, no matter how old or how young. For those of us that are saints, Lord, help us grow. We read about in the Psalms how we're crying out, Lord, help me walk with you. Help me remember you. Seems like I can forget you so easily. The Lord can help us remember. Every time the Spirit comes and convicts us, he's drawing us to himself. Why do we ever sin? Maybe we're walking in pride and God's got to show us. That's what happened to Peter. He was walking in pride and the Lord said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus is praying for us, even when he has to take his hand off of us somewhat because he's got to deal with that pride. Whatever he's dealing with, we could blame someone else. We can't ever do that. It's your own heart that sins. No one makes you sin but yourself. Well, thank the Lord for his salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. We ask you, Lord, that you might continue to open our eyes to behold the glories and the wonders of our Lord Jesus. Help us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Help us to repent more quickly. Give us tender hearts, sensitive hearts, Lord, to know when we are walking contrary to your will, to your word. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus. Help us to remember him throughout the remainder of this day in our lives. Strengthen our children, our families, this church. Father, all of your churches here and around the world, bless them mightily. We do pray, Father, you would send revival in the earth. We've read about it, and Lord, I think we've experienced some of it here in these 40 years you've kept us from a church split. Keep us continuing, Lord. And Father, we just ask you to bless this week. If you give us another week, Lord Jesus, you're coming quickly. Help us to be looking for that coming. And we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen.